And so if you would, I want you to take your Bibles with me. Let's go to the book of Joshua. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. And let's go to chapter number 4 this morning. I do not think I'll get probably not even past halfway point. And so, Lord's will, we'll try to preach maybe from this morning and tonight. But we'll just see. Whatever the Lord wants is what we'll do. But let's look in Joshua chapter number 4 this morning. And I want to look at verse number 1, if we could. Joshua chapter number 4 and verse number 1. If you love your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Joshua chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible said, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe, a man. Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Verse 7, then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Now Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and there are they, and they are there unto this day. You'll have to hang with me just for a little while, probably this morning by way of introduction, but I want to preach a thought the Lord's given me, and I want to try to be a help to you, and I want to preach on this thought this morning. Why settle for a story when you can serve as a stone? Why settle for a story when you can serve as a stone? Would you pray with me and for me this morning? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you, Lord, God, for the presence of the Lord that we've already felt. Now, God, here I stand, and Lord, I can't preach on my own. And so, Lord, I'm asking you one more time to anoint me, and God, to use me, Lord, for thy glory. I'm asking you, Lord, to please speak to me this morning and through me in the hearts of your people. And God, most of all, Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost would go forth today, and God, do what only you can. And God, that you'd draw people, and Lord, that you'd speak to people, and God, you'd save people. Lord, just do what you do. And God, we'll thank you for all that is done in this place. Now, God, I bless your holy name. Help us for a little while. We'll give you honor, praise, and glory for it all. For it's in Christ's name that we do ask and pray, and all the Lord's people said, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Briefly, I say briefly, but by way of introduction, I do want us to realize that it is here in our text this morning where, once again, we find ourselves reading about how God has begun to deal with, and God has extracted the nation of Israel from Egyptian bondage. You know the story, going all the way back to Jacob and the famine in the land, and how Joseph was sold to slavery, and how his brothers lied to the father and told him that a wild beast must have got him. But how many of y'all know that God has a funny way of turning the tide? And sure enough, it is Joseph that ended up being the only hand on the planet that could take care of his brethren. We know Joseph is a type and a picture of the Lord Jesus. And how many here this morning that would say, thank God he didn't give us what we deserve, but he was great gracious and long-suffering with us and supplied our every need. And so the story goes on that from there, the Bible lets us know that the nation of Israel, from that very famine, from that moment, enter into Egyptian bondage. For 430 years, they serve as slaves in Babylon. For 430 years, God is not even in their thoughts, but God, my friend, in His providence and in His love and in His covenant, I need a little help right there, with the nation of Israel, He raises up a man by the name of Moses. And you know the story, after 10 plagues and 430 years, God uses Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. But may I say this morning, it's not long after that Moses leads them out and they begin to journey from Egypt in pursuit of Canaan's fair land, that we understand that Moses, he dies. We know that Moses did not live forever. And so coming up from under Moses is a man by the name of Joshua. As a matter of fact, in chapter number 3 of our text and chapter number 4, it is the very first place that we find that God puts His seal, if you will. God puts the anointing. God puts the touch on Joshua concerning the people, just like He did Moses. Now, I do want to say this. This journey that took 40 years from leaving Egypt in pursuit of Canaan. Did you know that 40-year journey, the intent behind God delivering them out, it was only supposed to take 11 days. You say, how do you know that? Well, the Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter number 1, verse number 1, the Bible said, "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness." Now, there's two sides of Jordan, by the way. This side of Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain, over against the Red Sea. He says this in verse 2, "There are 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea." Now, listen, it's an 11-day journey. Think about this. It's 11-day journey from Egypt to Canaan's fair land. But what took, what should have took them 11 days turns into 40 years. Now, you say, "Preacher, how in the world could a journey go from 11 days to 40 years? Well, we know Israel. We know the people. We've read the Bible. We know they lived a life that lacked faith. We know they lived a life of fear. And we know they lived a life of filth." You better listen to this preacher this morning. You can slow things down. You can beset yourself. You can stunt your growth. You can make yourself, put yourself in delay when you do it your way and not God's way. But nonetheless, 40 years have gone by, and they are now at the River Jordan. Think about this. And the only thing between them and Canaan is the River Jordan. Now, you're going to have to stay with me just for a moment. I told you in this introduction, I got to lay some foundation. As many of y'all know that God has now put His stamp of approval on Joshua. But how many of y'all know this, that there is no promotion without paying a price? We're living in a generation, it's a get rich quick. It's a put me to the top now. But listen, that's not how God works. You will have to go through things, and you will have to endure hardness, and you will have to pay a price in order to be promoted. How many of y'all know there's no leading until you first learn how, or until you first learn, or you're a learner? You can't be a leader until you've been a learner. Can I say this morning? You'll never have followers until you learn to follow. Yeah. Amen. Joshua's done all these things, and now God's esteemed him. He's at the helm of this thing, fixing to cross Jordan's river and lead them into that promised land. Now, I want to say this. It is this in our text where they are at this Jordan River, and on one side of the river is Babylon. Now, get this picture in your mind now. They've left for 40 years. They've been traveling. And on this side of the Jordan River is Babylon, but on that side of the river is blessing. I'm going to paint you a picture and try to help you this morning. On this side of the river, my friend, is nothing but problems, but on that side of the river is prosperity. They're at a crossing. Can I say there's a problem? Before they could cross this river, that we understand they can't swim across it. If you go study this text, and if you go study chapter number 3, you know that the river Jordan, it not only rises and falls, but it floods. It stays out of the banks. Even today, the river Jordan is a wild, an untamed river. Here they are needing to cross it. But on the other side, in chapter number 3, look back with me in chapter number 3, look at verse number 9. Again, lengthy introduction. But I want you to understand, if I preach and you don't know, have a clue what I've talked about or what I've preached about, I failed you.
Amen.
So I'm going to lay a foundation. Look at verse number 9, chapter 3. The Bible said, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. So not only is there a river to cross, but on the other side of the river in their promised land, it is being occupied by all the Hittites. So there's a battle that has to be fought, but guess what God says? He'll fight the battle.
Amen.
God said, I will drive them out. Can I say this morning, listen to me, God is faithful to fight the battle, but the first step in order for Israel to enter into and possess their promised land, that these people have to be driven out of their land. So in Joshua chapter number 3, it's exactly what God has promised to do, to drive them out of Canaan's promised and fair land. It is here once again where God does what? Makes a way.
Yeah.
How many of y'all know that that's what God does?
Amen.
Now, is there anybody here this morning, you need God to make a way?
Amen.
I mean, listen to me. I know where some of y'all are living and you need God to make a way. Amen. I don't try to get down everybody's business, but I know some things and y'all need God to make a way.
Amen.
Now I need God to make a way this morning. Can I say it is here where God opens up the Jordan River? I'm jumping ahead. We'll go back and backtrack a little bit. God ends up opening up the Jordan River. They cross over in chapter number 3, and then in chapter number 4, notice what the Bible said in verse number 3 of chapter number 4. Verse number 3, and the Bible said, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Now, we know this. God tells Joshua, once y'all cross the Jordan, take 12 stones from within the Jordan River and place them on the other side, and do this as a memorial that God has once again brought you through the impossible or the crossings of your life. So Joshua does this. He sets these stones as a memorial. Can I say these stones would not only serve as a reminder of what God had done, but these stones would be placed here to be a reminder of what God can do.
Amen.
Does anybody go back to some times in your life where God allowed you to cross over, go through some things? And those are mile markers. Why do we put headstones in the ground? It's a memorial. We remember. We go back. And listen to me. I know people, they go to the graves, their loved ones, and they talk to them. But listen, if they're not there, we know that. But it's that stone that's a memorial. It's that marking place. It is that that rock that takes us back to something.
Yeah.
Or somebody in our life. God said, Joshua, I want you to take 12 stones, one for each tribe, and set them up on the other side as a memorial, because you're going to need to revisit. How many of y'all need sometimes go back in your life and revisit the stones? Now, I want to say, no doubt, even after years have gone by, when the Israelites passed by that way and seen those 12 stones, no doubt did they, not only did they find joy and hope in what God had done, but when they seen those stones, it gave them hope of what God can do. They see these stones, and my friend, they seen what God had done, but what God could still do in their lives in this situation. Now, just stay with me. I promise you, we're going somewhere. I begin to think about these stones, and I don't know that I've ever even, I may have preached on them. I can't recall a message that I preached, but when I was reading through this, I've just been studying and preaching a lot in the Old Testament, and I've been looking at Israel and their journey from Egypt to Canaan. I've been overcome by that, and God's been helping me with some things. And when I seen these stones, the Lord spoke to me and showed me something about these stones. Not only can I say that these stones are memorial, but this is what the Lord spoke to me. I want to be as one of these stones.
Oh, yeah.
Are you with me? Listen, there. No doubt there's people that can tell the story of what God has done. Can I get a witness? But every time that somebody looked at these stones, it not only told of what God had done, but what God was doing and what God will do down the road. I, as a Christian and as a believer and a father and a pastor and a friend, I want to be somebody that every single time somebody looks at my life, it is a testimony, not just what God has done, but what God's doing and what God will do down the road. I believe there's a lot of people this morning, all they got stories of what God done in days gone by.
Right.
I want you to understand something. This story seems so simple, but there's a long, drawn-out process for these stones to be put in place. Can I say this morning, not only do I want my life to speak of God's faithfulness in days gone by, but I want my life to preach. I want my life to speak about God's faithfulness in days that are even yet to come. So if the Lord helps for a little while, I want to preach on this thought. Why settle for a story when you can serve as a stone?
Yeah.
You ever met somebody that, and maybe you're that somebody. All you got is past experience of God's hand. All you've got, when you think about the power of God or God doing something miraculous, it's in days gone by. And some people, all they got are stories, but they're not a stone. In other words, they can tell you what was, but they're not still in the place of what is. I believe that too many people get weary along the journey and they quit, and all they can tell you is what God done in the former, but I want to be a testimony of what not only what God done in the former, what He's going to do in the future. So I want you to see a few things about these stones. Number one, this morning, I want you to see the timeline of these stones. The timeline. Go back to chapter number 3. This is where we'll start preaching. The timeline of these stones. Chapter 3, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. The Bible said, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of Levites bearing it, then shall you remove from your place and go after it. And there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For ye have not passed this way before. This is a new way. They've never been here. They're fixing to cross the Jordan. This is a new avenue in their wilderness journey. Verse number 6, and Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. And they took the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still at Jordan. And Joshua said, now pay attention, Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, and hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you all those ites. So we see, number one this morning, the timeline of these stones. Can I say, in order to be a stone, you must understand there is a timeline behind these stones. These stones just don't appear out of nowhere. These stones are not just a trophy. They serve as a product of a timeline. There were certain and specific things that the people of Israel had to do in order for them to not only gather, but for them to place these stones. Now, first thing I want to talk about this morning is this. There is a process, number one, in the timeline of these stones. Before the stones are ever gathered, before the stones are ever placed, before you can ever be a stone for the Lord. What is that stone? A testimony, a mile marker, a solid, faithful somebody that's going to serve God. Before you can be a stone, you must understand in this timeline of the stones, number one, we see there is a process of sanctification. There is a process of sanctification. Look at verse number 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. So in other words, Joshua saying this, hey Israel, God's going to open up the Jordan River tomorrow. And God's going to take us through the Jordan River. And when we get there, God's going to give us something to testify of. And a life that we can share with our children. But before we can make the crossing, there is a timeline. There's a process, and it starts with this. Sanctify yourselves. This is where I'm going to bear down now. You all have to stay with me. Before these stones can be placed on the other side of Jordan, they have to be sanctified. These people have to be sanctified. I need you to realize this morning there is a process to passing over. Is there anybody in this building this morning in your life, you need to get out of where you are now and make a crossing? Well, maybe y'all don't have Jordan rivers that pop up in your life. Again, what's on this side of the Jordan? Burdens. What's on this side of the Jordan where they come out of Egypt? What's on that side? Sadness and sin and slavery and difficulty and imprisonment. But on that side of Jordan's God's favor. It's God's blessing. It's the victorious Christian life. It's liberty. It's freedom. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. There's no more famine. There's no more failure. I mean, it's full of faith. It's where we all long to be is in Canaan land. The victorious Christian life. But can I say you don't get to the victorious Christian life and you don't get to be a stone when you live and do what you want to live and how you want to do. You don't make it to the other side. The first thing Joshua said, hey, we are going to make the crossing. Hey, I hate to say it, our church has done made the crossing. God's taking us up. We can all see that. And some of y'all are going to stay on the bitter side of Jordan while the rest of us go to the better side of Jordan. And it's nobody's fault but your own. Because you don't want to live a life of sanctification.
Amen.
Can I say this? In order to not only tell a story but be a stone, you must understand this process. I posted this yesterday. It's and now, of course, come out of my message. But don't expect God to bless the start of a new season or a crossing in your life when you did not end the last one right with Him. You know what I believe? I believe that people, when they get to the crossing and they see Canaan's just on the other side and they see that God's going to make a way, but they're not willing to end right so they can't begin right. And it's a revolving door. If you start right, you finish right. And if you finish right, you'll start right. Does everybody see that? Can I say the reason most Christians never become a stone is because they're not willing to be sanctified. My friend, you don't get the blessing on the other side of the river unless you prepare for it.
Amen.
I need a little help this morning. I know y'all wanted probably to come back and just shout all morning, but we've done that in the singing. Now it's time to feed somebody.
Amen.
I mean, I'm not just here to build cheerleaders and have a pep rally. I want this to be a church and not a social gathering. I want people to know that there's a life that you're going to have to live and you're going to have to dedicate to and you're going to have to commit yourself to. It's a process and you can live on the better side of the river and you can get out of the bitter side of the river, but it don't come without a process. There's a timeline, and in this timeline there's a process. And in this process we find the first step is sanctification. Can I say this? Some of y'all are hoping things will get better later on down the road, but you're not willing to give God your best right now. I need you to pick up what I'm throwing down. You don't get to the better side of the river when you quit on God in the bitter side of the river. I'm going to say that to half y'all know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You don't get to the better side of the river when you quit on God in the bitter side of the river.
Yes, sir.
You've got to submit yourself even when it's bitter because we know the promise is it's going to best even when it's bitter, and God will take you to what's better. Can I say this? You'll get out what you put in. If you're not willing to give yourself to God on the bitter side, don't expect to make it to the better side. Some of y'all are waiting for things to change before you start trying to please God. But the key is this. If you start to please God, things will change. I mean, I'm preaching stuff that'll help you if you'll listen to me. My friend, a lot of y'all are waiting for things to change before you please God. But the key to things changing is to please God. My friend, sanctification is a daily process you must submit yourself to. Can I say sanctification don't come through situation and circumstance? We don't live a life of sanctification based on situation. We live a life of sanctification based on the Savior. 1 Peter 1:16 said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He's the cause. I need a little help right there. He's the reason. He is the aim. He's the mark. He's the prize. He's the goal. We ought to live sanctified because who our Savior is. It's not a conditional thing. It's a Christ thing. It's a Christian thing. You're doing one or two things right now in your life. I need you to listen to me very carefully. Everybody here, you're doing one of two things this morning. According to this Bible, you either being drawn away or you're drawing nigh.
That's it.
There are one or two things.
That's it.
You are either being drawn away, I'm going to give you verses, or you are drawing nigh. Listen to me. In order to be drawn away, the Bible says this in James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. But every man when he is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin. And sin when it is finished, bring forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. My friend, you will not make the crossing to the better side of the river. You will die on the bitter side of the river when you're being drawn away. What does it mean to be drawn away? It means to give in to temptation.
Right.
It means to live for you. It means to quit on God. It means to give up on trying to live a sanctified and a holy life. You ain't making the crossing. You'll die on the bitter side of the river when you're drawn away. But if you'll draw nigh, you can make it to the better side. Now, I'm not talking about eternity. Everybody knows that. I'm not talking about working your way to heaven. I'm talking about the rivers of life and the will of God and the favor and the blessing, the victorious Christian life. You're never going to live a life of victory when you are failing to live a sanctified life when you're being drawn away instead of drawing nigh. What's the Bible say in James 4, verse number 8? The Bible says, draw nigh to God and what? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart and your double-minded. Now, I want you to understand something. In reality, there's only one thing that you have to do to be drawn away. Drawn away is what? Be enticed.
Come on now.
Be tempted. When you give in to tempting, when lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin. When sin is finished, it bring forth death. Y'all with me?
Amen.
So what do we do? What is the one step to being drawn away and losing a life of sanctification and living on the bitter side of the river? Right here it is. You only have to do one thing to be drawn away. Fail to draw near. That's it. You can live a life of sanctification if you will wake up every day and make it a point to draw near. But as soon as you fail to draw near, you'll be drawn away. Does everybody see this? As soon as you fail to draw near, you will be drawn away. Therefore, failing in this process. There's a timeline to these stones. Everybody wants to be a stone, but they don't want to go through the process.
Right.
You're going to have to wake up every day of your life and be a Christian.
Yes,
amen.
I am.
You have to wake up every day of your life and live a life of sanctification.
Amen.
And I know y'all was wanting a home run, but look, here it is, a home run. You want to know why? It's what God gave me. Amen. I ain't trying to preach for hand claps and amens and high fives. It's what God said to preach. That's why I'm preaching it.
Right.
Amen. I'm telling you, there is a better side. But you're living in the bitter side because you will not purify and cleanse yourself.
Good.
Number two, not only is there a process of sanctification, but in the timeline of these stones, number two, we see there's a process of submission. You ain't going to become a stone when you can't learn to live a submissive life.
Amen.
Some of y'all claim that Jesus is your Lord, but you know what the Bible says? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, do not things which I say? I mean, why do we tag His name to our lives when our lives don't complement His name? Let that sink in. Why do we apply His name to our lives, but our lives do not complement His name? Because we don't live a submissive life, a sanctified life. Look at verse number 6. Verse number 6 of chapter 3. Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant. Pass over before the people, and they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. See how that worked? Isn't that amazing? Joshua said, take up the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant before the people. I said at Sunday school, it's amazing what listening will do for you.
Right.
I never understood why somebody would come and listen to a preacher holler at them for 45 minutes and turn around and do nothing he says.
Right. Yeah.
You do realize I'm not preaching out of Dr. Phil's book, I'm preaching out of God's book.
Right.
You do realize it's not my thoughts or theology, it's the Lord's. It's His truth, and it will set you free. I'm not just here, my friend, to do something. I'm here to try to help you, but you must submit to God and His Word.
Amen.
Verse number 7 of chapter 3, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying. So He tells the preacher to do what? Command the priest. The Ark of the Covenant. In verse 8. Thou shalt command the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, come hither, hear the words of the Lord your God. It's what a preacher does. Verse number 10. Joshua said, hereby you shall know the living God is among you. He will without fail drive out all them ites. Verse 11. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you. Now, therefore, and it goes on and down the line. So we see not only is there a process of sanctification, but number 2, there's a process in this timeline of submission. It's here that God tells Joshua that He's fixing to magnify him, and He's fixing to cross over, and He's fixing to carry Israel through. But my friend, Joshua has to obey God and tell the people, and the people have to obey Joshua because they know what he's saying came from God. Does everybody see how this works? And I say this, if you don't learn to submit to God in the process of crossing over Jordan, you may have a story, but you won't be a stone.
Right. Yeah.
I just don't want to have a story this morning. If you're content with just being a story or a statistic, that's your business. But I want to be a stone. And we look, and I'm jumping ahead of myself, but why was these stones so significant? Because God told Joshua said, one day your children are going to inquire and say, what's the deal with these stones? Why do I want to be a stone? So my children will ask questions. So my children will inquire. So my children will see. And so their children and their children until the coming of the Lord when He gets us out of here. Hey, I'm telling you, there's a greater cause this morning to stand and submit and live a life of sanctification. Those who never dive all the way in and submit themselves to the process, they never become stones. All they have is a story. Is everybody listening to me this morning? You know, all they have is a story. Wouldn't it be a shame for your kids, the only thing they know about God is what you tell them, not what you show them? Children can see through the facade.
They can.
And there's a whole bunch of Christians naming Christ, but their lives don't show Him.
Amen.
Children are not impressed with our lives, that our lips that speak of Christ. They're watching our lives.
Amen.
God's first priority. Then why do you miss so much church?
Come on.
Oh, good. I mean, you say, well, you're not submitted. I'm not here to be ugly. Again, I'm here to have a church, and I want to build you in Christ, and you ought to want to build yourself and grow as a Christian. You've got at some point to quit playing games. You can't be halfway in and halfway out. All you're going to be is a story, and your family needs you to be a stone. You don't make it to the other side. You don't get to be a stone without this timeline. And this timeline's a process. And we first see sanctification, then we see submission. Or a process of being submissive. Hear me well this morning. 30 years from now, I just don't want to be telling stories of what I used to be. I want to be a stone that's still standing.
Amen.
If you think it's hard to be a Christian now, bless your wicked little heart. Because the heat's going to get hotter. Hey, man. Hey, some of y'all's having some major difficulties in your life right now. You better listen to this preacher. I'm not giving you bad advice. I'm not giving you something I read on the internet or out of a commentary or Googled. You better listen to me. If you're really on the bitter side of the river, the only way you're getting out, my friend, is to live a life that's holy, of sanctification and submission. You've got to submit yourself to the things of God. Or you ain't getting to the better side of Jordan. You're going to die on the bitter side. I'm telling you the truth. Years after these stones are placed on the other side of Jordan, they're not just speaking of what was, they're speaking of what is. Think about it. As the years passed by, the stone still stood. As the seasons changed, the stone still stood. And I reckon, am I making sense to anybody? As the river rose and the river fell and the river flooded, the stone still stood. My friend, we need somebody to be a stone. How many people do you know? And I get it, things are different. The hours we're living in are different. How many people do you know? The only thing they can tell you about God is what God used to do. Can I get a witness right here? God's still doing.
Amen.
I mean, April 12, 2015, God birthed this church. April 12, 2015. It's 2023.
Right.
8.5 years have passed by.
Yes, sir.
Y'all think I've done this?
No, sir.
Only thing I had was a word from God and a paintbrush. I didn't have no people. But I had a promise that God said if we, my friend, would labor and trust God, that He would build the house, and that's what He's doing.
Amen.
Is anybody glad we're not hot dogging and hamburgering on everybody yet?
Yeah.
Is anybody glad we don't got half naked women and flashing lights and a rock concert on the stage to entice people? I mean, listen, growth is slow, growth is a process. It don't come overnight. But my friend, I'm glad to be in a place where God has produced some real, genuine growth. And there's people that's trying and people that's striving. And more of y'all need to get in on the process this morning.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be amazing if one day, and I believe there's coming a day, there's not going to be many churches like this left.
Right.
I hate to say it, but especially in these parts, a lot of the ones that's still claiming to be old time, they are old time, but if we're not careful, we'll worship being old time more than we worship God, and old time becomes our God and we die.
Yeah.
I listen to you, I am old time. I ain't saying nothing. I raised the flag of old time. King John, I do, but that's not my God.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what's sad is you can get so busy working for God, you quit walking with Him.
Amen.
You know what sanctification is? It's to walk with God. It's a process. But it's personal. And we ain't going to have no stones when we don't submit ourselves to the plan of sanctification, the plan of submission. You know what everybody in here struggles with? In some form? Submission. You as a kid, you want to know why I got so many whoopings? It wasn't because you hated your parents. It's you don't like to submit.
Yeah.
People don't like for a red-faced, slobbering, sweating, snotting preacher to point at them and say, "You're wrong! That's what you need."
Amen.
You want to know why there's no Christians being developed in Houston, Texas with Smiling Joe?
Man.
Come on, somebody. Because submission's not even in their Bible.
Right, right.
And I've come to tell you, you can't be a stone until you submit.
Right.
I want y'all, some of you to not just get in, but some of you need to just grow up.
Amen.
I'm not meaning that in a bad way. I mean, you need to decide it's time to grow. You've been where you are for a long time. Don't you think it's about time maybe to step her up a notch?
Amen.
Well, welcome back, Brother Josh. Good to have you. Good preaching this morning.
Amen.
But I'm trying to be your pastor.
Amen.
Trying to feed you. This is the meal God prepared. It ain't none of my business. It's His business.
Right.
Not only is there a process of sanctification and submission, but then we see even when it comes to being sure or having surety, that is a real word, by the way. It's a process. There was a process of surety. Look in verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of every tribe of Israel, out of every tribe of man. It shall come to pass as soon as... Notice 13. Keep your finger on verse 13. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above. They shall stand up upon a heap. Now, hold your finger right there. Now look in verse number 17. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground till the people were passed over clean over Jordan. Look at verse 16. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up as a heap. Look at verse 15. And as they came, as they that bear the ark were come to Jordan. And the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overflowed his banks. Now listen. God give them a word. God give them, my friend, a comment, if you will. God challenge them in verse number 13. And then God confirms it two verses later. In other words, God said, listen, you're going to have to walk down the Jordan bearing the Ark of the Covenant. And as soon as the soles of your feet hit the water, I'm going to stop the flow. I'm going to heat the water up. And I'm going to make a way for y'all to cross the Jordan River on dry ground. And so God gives them the command, and then they get down through there a couple verses, and God gives them the confirmation.
Yeah.
But can I say something? Confirmation don't come unless you submit to the command.
Right.
There's so many of y'all that God has told you what He's going to do.
Come on, preacher.
Yep. You really don't want to go get your feet wet.
Come on.
They had, now think about this. I told you it's a wild, untamed river. It's overflowing. We just read it. And God said, Joshua, you tell them priests, they're bearing the Ark of the Covenant, which is the glory of God. And He said, when you get down the Jordan River, when your feet touch the water, I'm going to heap it up. I'm going to stop the flow. I'm going to stop even the sea of salt that supplied this river. I'm going to open it up and you're all going to cross through. There's the command. But they had to obey the command to get the confirmation. You don't know why some of y'all are so unsure this morning? You don't know why you can't believe God to make you, to get you through this crossing? You're at a crossing. You need to cross over from the bitter side to the better side.
Yeah.
But you're just not willing to submit. And you've lost your faith. And you say, preacher, it's just so hard. But can I say this? Too many times people get discouraged and quit on God and they rob themselves witnessing what God can do again and again.
Amen.
Some of y'all are sitting here this morning. I'm about done. I know you've waited a long time to hear that. You're sitting here today with the mindset that God can't or won't do what He said He was going to do. Here's what's going to happen. If you forfeit, you'll do it because of your lack of faith. Folks that give up never serve as stones. All they have is stories. I know preachers this morning, if I went and visited them today, they could tell me how much God done in years gone by. But they're not a stone. All they got's a story. Why? Because they quit. They hit some times they needed to make the crossing. And they just didn't have the faith to keep going. Now some of y'all this morning, it's went in one ear and out the other, but you're coming to a river. Some of y'all are at the river, and you need to cross. You need to get to the victorious Christian life because you're living defeated right now. And you need to be a stone, but if you quit, all you're going to have is a story. I used to go to Stillwater. Can't tell you how many people I know when I see them, that's what they say. We went to eat a couple Sundays ago. The waitress came up serving 15 or 20 people from the church. She said, "Oh, hey," and they said, "Oh, do you know?" "Yeah, I know. I know, Brother Josh. I used to go to Stillwater." Is that what you want to be? You just want to be a story? Or do you want to be a stone? If you're not willing to live a sanctified life, a submissive life, and endure the process to be sure, and God will build your faith. How many of y'all know this? Your doubt has not came as a result of God's inability to keep His promises.
Amen.
It's not His fault, in other words, in redneck vernacular. God has never failed to keep His promise.
Amen.
He told them, if you get down, your feet touch the water, I'll stop the river. But they had to have the faith to walk down in the rushing water. Some of y'all are just outside of Jordan. You can see the other side, but you just ain't got the faith to take a step, to obey, to submit yourself. Surety is a process. We found the command, we found the confirmation. And I'll close this morning with this. Can I say it's hard to believe God for a crossing when you will not commit? Without Joshua and the nation of Israel living sanctified and submitted, they have no surety. By the way, sanctification, submission, and surety, all three hold hands. You do not have surety, you don't have faith in God when you will not submit to Him. And when you do not live sanctified, you'll never be sure. That is the timeline of these stones. Tonight we'll look at the testimony. I ain't got time because I've got a whole bunch more to say. Maybe you'll be a little more encouraged tonight. How many of y'all are here tonight or this morning? And you really need God to do something. You need to get from where you are.
Yeah.
Is there anybody on the bitter side of the river? And you'd love to be on the better side of the river. Is there anybody on the stagnant side of the river? But you'd like to be on the satisfied side of the river. By the way, there is a possibility of enjoying the Christian life, not enduring it. I have a hard time with people that claim to know the Lord Jesus and they all the time down in the mully grubs.
Yeah,
what ails you, friend?
Right. That is right.
You say, well, this river, and I'm trying to hurry, Brother Chris, the way it comes. This river, it's preventing me. It's so dangerous. I get that. But you know what they could have done when they got to the river? I could have looked back on the Red Sea. I could have looked back tomorrow. They could have looked back to the wilderness of Shur. They could have looked back to all those places and all those things that God. They could have went back to the war with Amalek. Just like they do over and 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 over again. They failed to believe God. You know what Paul said when that storm hit? He said, "Sirs, I know it looks bad, but I've got a word, and I believe God."
Amen.
Ask something this morning. Do you believe God's big enough to get you to the better side? You really think He brought you out of Egypt to leave you on the bitter side of the river? You really think God saved you and called you and commissioned you and helped you and established you and salvaged you and restored you for you to die on the bitter side of the river? Listen here. I hate talking, saying things like this. There's people here today, if something don't give for you, something don't change if you don't get back hungry for God very quickly. There's a whole bunch of us gonna cross to the better side. We'll have to look in the rearview mirror.
Yes, sir.
And see you on the better side.
That's exactly right.
Amen. I've been as transparent as I can be. Some of the finest people I've ever met is in this building, but you're not submissive.
Right.
You don't know me. I see your life.
Yes, sir.
Men, we don't know one another.
But it ain't going to do you an ounce of good to keep coming to church here. You're just listening.
Right.
Some points you got to go from hearing to doing.
Right. That's right.
That is right.
That's right.
Hey, ladies, you can sit in that pew dry. It seems like you've been that way for years. But did you know God has a Holy Ghost shout with your name on it? It's on the bitter side. But you just determined you're going to live and die on the bitter side. And Kayla, it's a better side.
Yeah.
You better listen to your stubby brother. Listen to me. There's a better side.
There is.
Yes, sir.
Brother Seth?
Yes, sir.
There's a better side.
There is.
I told y'all in the beginning, before the whole church, no matter what happened here,
right.
If y'all get married, great. If you don't, great. There's a better side. That's the God brought you too far. You can't quit and die on the bitter side. Seth, you can't. You can't stop dying on the bitter side because there's a better side. But you're going to have to live a life of sanctification and submissiveness.
Amen.
And exclude sanctification and submission, you'll get sure again. Right now, you're not sure. You can have that surety again. I remember you walk in here and you believe God, if the devil would have walked in and hell would have lifted out of the floor, you'd have been the first one to jump up and try to put it out. God's not changed.
Nope.
And what y'all have got to doubt and questioning? Ashley, Seth, Brody, Amy, Jim, Bob, my family, this is, hey, God's still worth serving.
Sure is.
Things happen, people. Life happens. Things change. People are good today and not good tomorrow. It's part of it. But I've come to tell you, there's still a better side. You don't have to die on the bitter side. You can cross over to the better side. You think I'm going to let you slip out of here? Look back up there and never show your face again. You get an EPO for me. I turn loose up. Listen. God can bring you down here and change your whole world for a hiccup in the river. Sorry, some of y'all don't know about this. It's just this what God. It's a hiccup in the river. I know the river looks bad, but actually, the Red Sea. When Bob, you remember when God brought her out? This ain't nothing. I ain't worried about her, because I trust Him. I mean, who'd ever thought she'd have got brought out the first time? She's in a lot better shape now than she was then. And if God brought her through the Red Sea, He'll bring her through the river. Y'all are not believing God over a river, but He's done brought you through a Red Sea. There is a better side. You can't quit and give up on the bitter side. I don't want to just have a story of what God done and quit. I want to be a strong proof that what God done, He not only done, then He do it over and over and over again. For those of you worried about everybody else this morning. There's a whole bunch of y'all still on the better side, too.
Yeah.
We're fixing to go in the meeting, and God's going to meet with us.
Right.
And I'm praying for God to do great and mighty big things. Some of y'all need this meeting a lot worse than you realize.
Right.
Yeah. God, I say this morning, it's this simple. You can get on the better side before the meeting ever gets here. Think about think God brought y'all through some Red Seas? I know you're facing some things. He can bring through the Red Sea, sure, God, he can make you cross the river. Brother Mickey. That's Brother Mickey. Skidmore. Worked with him when I was 18 or 19. CTA, friend of my daddy's. I don't know what all Brother Mickey's going through. But just greeting him and welcoming him here this morning, his burden's overflowing. He's heavy-hearted. He's got problems. Got things going on. I don't even know what. I don't have to know.
Right.
Mickey. God can carry you through the Jordan River. If you quit, you give up, you don't live a sanctified, submissive, and sure life before the Lord, you'll die right at the cross. There's a better side, but you'll die on the bitter side if you don't have the faith to go down and get your toes wet. You'll step into that water, that's when God will open it up and part it, but not until then. So here's what we're going to do. Let's all stand. I don't know. I can't meet everybody's needs, where you're at, what you're going through, but the Lord's put his finger on it. I've tried to encourage you and be a help and a blessing to you. So now that you've heard what God has to say, won't you come say something to him? Won't you come speak to him? Father, I've done my best. Help us this morning. Bless the invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You come this morning.